Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Kevin Petzkowski, and he is the owner of Heartsleep Winery. Now, Kevin, how did you come up with that name, Heartsleep?
Well, you want the whole story? Or just,
sure, why not?
Just the ending when it worked out. You know, I had been trying to come up with a name for the label for a couple years, really, and friends had given me pages and pages of suggestions, and nothing really stuck. And last summer, I was working up at Don Brim's place. I was just getting kind of frantic and nervous about not having a label name. And, you know, it costs a lot of money to start a winery. And I was just talking and going, you know, sometimes I don't sleep at night. You know, my heart feels like it's leaping out of my chest. And Sharon, Don's partner, said, "I'd buy that wine." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Heartsleep." And I let that sit for a couple of days, and that whole energy kind of, you know, fit with where I was, and thought about it a little bit. And yeah, that's closest thing that
Oh, that's such
so
a
far.
Great story. I love hearing that it caused that anxiety, made your heart leap, and that ended up being the name of the winery. How did you start in the wine business?
Well, my son had graduated from high school, and he was a soccer player. So we spent a lot of time in the spring and fall driving every weekend to Southern Oregon and Bay Area to play soccer. He was going off to college, and I needed a hobby. So I figured I would look at what I could do. And years ago, I thought about doing beer. But over the years, you know, I didn't drink so much beer. I was drinking a lot more wine. So I just started telling everyone I knew that I was going to start making wine. That way, you know, when you tell people you're going to do something, after a while, you kind of have to...
You have to do it.
You have to do it. And so that's what I did. I actually was visiting a friend of mine and mentioned that to him. And he said, "Well, you should call this guy because he really loves helping people make wine." So I called Don Brim at Moonstone Crossing. 2 months later, when I got up the nerve to cold call because I never talked to him before. And that's how I started.
And he's such a nice guy.
He is.
Don is such a nice guy.
Really helpful, really, really friendly. And I unfortunately proceeded to ruin the first ton of grapes that he got me that year.
A ton? And you turned them into what?
I turned them into kind of sour wine. I actually, though, still have 4 cases of the Cabernet I made because I use it for cooking because the extra acidity actually...
There you go. Turn those lemons into lemonade.
Yep.
turn that sour wine into cooking wine.
Yep. And I learned that I should put on my reading glasses when I'm
measuring
wine.
Yeah. So your first batch you ruined, but you stuck with it.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed the process. You know, I went through the whole process from the grapes to the bottle.
And a ton. So you really had the equipment to be able to process a ton of grapes.
Well, not really. I had friends who also made wine in relatively small batches, and I, for the first few years, would borrow their equipment, their crusher, stemmer, press, that kind of thing, and do it in my backyard, make a couple barrels.
Now, when you were deciding what types of wine to make, because you've brought to me today a Barbera and a Chardonnay and a Dry Riesling, how did you decide what types of wine you wanted to make? Was it the kind you like to drink?
I like drinking wine.
So
there's a lot of varieties I like. You know, really, from here, not many grapes are grown all that nearby Arcata, where I live. For me, it was, what can I get a hold of? What's available? What's out there? So I didn't really so much choose. I put it out there that, you know, I would like to try some Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Sauvignon Blanc, that kind of thing. But mostly it's been just, can I get a hold of the grapes, good grapes?
How do you hook up with grape growers? How do you even find the ones?
Well, once again, Don's been pretty helpful along the way because he introduced me to a few contacts. And then as you make a little more, you start talking to people and make connections. And
some of your grapes are coming from like Amador County, some of them coming from Mendocino. How do they come to you? Do they just, you know, somebody pulls up in a truck?
The ones from Amador, yeah, they came in a, you know, in a chilled truck. First ones we got, you know, I had my neighbors help because I was making the wine in the backyard. And that was from there. Everywhere else, generally have to take the half-ton bins down to the place that I'm going to be getting the grapes from. And then they pick them into my grapes in the morning, and I drive them back and process them. It can be a long day.
Oh, that is a long day.
Going down to Lake County, Kelseyville area, or Ukiah, so it's 3 or 4 hours.
Seems like it's pretty warm, too, as you're trying to transport them back up.
It is a little warm, but, you know, they hold up pretty well for that distance.
Now, where do you sell your wines locally?
Right now, my wines are at Wildberries, the Co-op, Eureka and Arcata, Murphy's and Cutton, Arcata and Trinidad, John's Liquors, Harris and K Market, the Eureka Natural Foods in McKinleyville.
How much do you make in a year?
Well, let me think about that. I don't make a lot at the moment. I just got started. I didn't get the label until this Christmas, and we put them on in January. So like 400 or 500 cases.
Oh, okay. That seems like a lot to me. Now, who designed the label for your winery?
That was done by Alan Sanborn. We've known each other for quite a while, and he was kind of interested. And then I told him what I wanted to see, because back to the Heart's Leap, I wanted to see a boiling cauldron chasm that I had to leap over, you know, on the label, but Alan's not that dark, and so he came up with this, and we tinkered with it a bit and tried to get it to be kind of a little more scary looking. But
No, it doesn't look scary at all. It kind of looks like a comet to me, kind of shooting through the air across a chasm between two cliffs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are your plans for the future of your winery? What do you think is going to happen? Do you have like a long-term plan?
Well, I don't really have a long-term plan besides making the wines and hoping that people like them and will try them. So far, it's going better than I had thought since, you know, I just started selling the wine a few months ago. And if it keeps moving on, I'll keep doing it.
What sorts of things would you pair these with? You have the Barbera. I'm not sure what that, I don't think I've ever tasted one.
Well, you might have. It's an Italian varietal. So it's in a lot of Italian wines as a blend, and they don't necessarily put Barbera on the label. But it's a nice, hearty red wine, you know, Italian food, you know, good lasagna.
Nice. Good spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Yeah, that sounds good. And now the Chardonnay, what would you normally pair a Chardonnay with?
Well, I tend to like it with, when crab season starts, I always make crab cakes and have the Chardonnay.
And have a glass of Chardonnay with that. That sounds very good.
So seafood, you know, that kind of thing. But it's really good just
drinking. And the dry Riesling.
That's kind of a new one. You know, I haven't really paired that much with food yet. Rieslings are supposed to be really good with spicier foods and things like that. So I'll get to that.
We'll get to it too, because you brought us three nice bottles of wine to share. So I'm looking forward to giving those a try. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Kevin Patskowski, who is the owner of Heart's Leap Winery. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Okay, thank you.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.